Father, we thank you for giving us opportunity, Lord, to give. Lord, we acknowledge that giving, like singing, like every other activity, Lord, is an act of worship. So, Father, we pray that you will help us to give with a pure heart. Give with a grateful heart. Give with a heart of worship, O God. Just to show that, Father, we adore you. We really adore you. Lord, we ask that you will give the leaders of the church, O God, wisdom and grace to steward what has been given, Lord, to the church. So, Father, bless the offering. Father, as we look into your word today, I pray, God, that you will speak to us. You will speak to us. And, Lord, that you will use this vessel, Lord, to deliver your word, Father. Sanctify me, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Can I have the slides on? Today I want to speak to you from the book of Amos. Some of you who have read the book of Amos, maybe you will feel a little bit scared. I feel that this is a word of the season for us. God has a message for us and we have to pay attention. The book of Amos started with a prophecy to the neighboring countries of Israel. But a big part of that book is actually a prophecy to the nation Israel. So today, the focus of this sermon is really on the prophecy to Israel. And the title that I give to my sermon today is Prepare to Meet Your God. This title did not come from me. It's taken word for word, verbatim, from Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet your God. When I prepare this message, I recall an incident that happened about 4 to 5 years ago. Alicia and I were in the car, and I was driving. My children were sitting behind. Like many times before, like usual, they quarreled. They started quarreling until a point where they started to raise hand on each other. In that, they have crossed the line. Things had gone out of control. And that fight triggered me. That tiger parent devil inside me just came out. And my voice thundered from the front. And like usual, there was silence. Pin drop silence. And my voice spoke. I said, when we reach home, prepare to die. Both of you, bring the cane, go upstairs, stand by the bedside, and prepare to die. And you know what happened when we reach home? I have 2 children. One child, very obediently, as soon as we reached home, one child went upstairs and stood by the bedside. And you guess which one that child is. And another one, Tong Le Moto, didn't do anything, went back, pretended nothing had happened, just sat at the couch. You guess who had to die that day? This is the message. In summary, what Amos is bringing to the people of Israel. Prepare to meet your God. Let us dive in. I want to start by giving you an introduction and background of this book. I want to start by sharing with you who this person is, who Amos is. The Bible says that Amos was from a place called Tekoa. Okay, Tekoa means he is from Judah. He is from the southern kingdom. He is not a local. But you remember what I said? The prophecy is to Israel, the northern kingdom. So he was sent by God to go to the northern kingdom. He's a foreigner. He goes there. What did God ask him to do? God asked him to tell the people, you prepare to die. Not in the exact word. Basically, to pronounce judgment. Now, Amos, in that society that day, Amos was a nobody. The Bible says that he was just a shepherd. He wasn't even a priest or anybody from the lineage of the king or the nobles. He was just a nobody, a working class person. And the Bible says that he was a shepherd and a farmer of sycamore figs. As a farmer of sycamore figs, this guy is hardy. Because if you read about this tree, this sycamore tree, the fig, you actually had to bruise each one of it before it will ripe and you can harvest. Just imagine that tree with so many fruit, and he has to go there and bruise each one of them in order for him to be able to pick the fruit. That is the kind of hardship that he went through as a farmer. And his ministry started in about 750 BC. Okay, that's in the 8th century. Just to give you a feel of what's happening in the 8th century. In 8th century, the world was already advancing. Rome was built in the 8th century. And the Olympic Games was introduced in the 8th century. Society was already progressing. And Israel at that time, they were under this king called Jeroboam the second. Depends on who you ask. The Bible says in 2 Kings, he was someone who had did evil in the sight of God. To God, he is an evil king. But to the world, they celebrated him. They think that he had done so well. Why? Don't know. Because they were so blessed. Israel was placed in a very good and strategic location, very near to the Mediterranean Sea, where a lot of trade were happening. Israel was having very good bilateral relationship, especially with the Phoenician seafarers. They enjoy vibrant trade. People are prospering economically. Israel was doing well. And those were good times for Israel. It was 700 years or more after they have entered Canaan. And they have gone through 700 years. They have gone through many generations. And the generation at that time never knew and never understood about hardship. And materialism, wealth, prosperity things rule the day. The Bible says that they built stone mansion. I also cannot imagine what a stone mansion is because I don't have. They did not only have one house. They have more than one house. They have the summer house and the winter house. Well, why so many houses? Because during the summer is very hot. They can go to their bungalow house in the hills, in the mountain to stay there. Life was good. And the houses they had were not a very simple house. The Bible tells us that the house that they had were adorned with ivory. And they drank choice wines. They planted lush vineyards. And Israel was very religious. They built shrines in high places. Bethel, Samaria had become the center of worship for Israel. All the worship festivals, offerings continue without skipping a beat. Very, very religious. So what's the problem? What's the problem of being rich and being religious? Being rich, being religious is no problem. But why did God send Amos to poop in their party? Why did God send Amos to rain in their parade? Because wealth had got the better of them. Their hearts were drawn away from God. God said, your conduct stinks to the highest heavens. Because you ignored justice and you trample the poor. You make idols and you worship them. From the time they left Egypt, they have this tendency that they always want to build idols. Knowing that idols and worshipping idols is an abomination to God. And not only that, this is what happened to Israel. Church, learn this word, sacrilege. I learned a new word when I prepared this sermon. Sacrilege, okay, it is spelled S-A-C-R-I-L-E-G-E. It means violation of what is sacred, like temple worship. Violation of what is sacred. God's temple had become whorehouse. They slept with prostitutes in the temple. Amos said, father and son went into the same girl. God's temple became an entertainment center. Worship is just a show. They worship, but there is no substance. They worship and entertain themselves. What a shame. They drink wine. Not wine that they have bought with their own hard-earned money, but they drank wine with the fines or the bribes taken from the poor. What a shame to Israel. They were socially unjust. They traded slaves. They sold the poor for a pair of sandals. They treated the poor like commodity. They abused the poor. They stepped on them on their head. How does God people become like this? They deprive the poor of justice. I do not know how. But the poor come to you, come to the people in high places. I need justice. My children are being taken away from me. And you took bribes, God said. And you didn't punish the perpetrators. You punish the poor. What a shame on you, Israel. You impose tax on the poor. Grain tax. Straw tax. All these materials, you know that they need to make bread to eat and straw to for their occupation to make things, and you impose tax. And who are the people who suffer? The poor. How could they do that? People that God loved. How could they do that? Shame on them. And not just that. They indulge in endless worldly pleasures. That appetite for pleasures cannot be satisfied. This word is called insatiable. They did not just have a bed to sleep. They need a bed that is made of ivory. They have couch where they could lie down and just relax. Nothing wrong with that. But when you become lazy, it is a problem. They ate the most expensive food. You know, when I was in San Francisco last year, I think maybe in 2018, I went to a restaurant. It was a company dinner. We had this little dessert. This little dessert, the size of a grape that is being served to us, company's dinner. That little thing, as big as a grape, I also don't know what they put inside, is $30. It went into my throat and almost came out. How has the world become like this? How can we eat with conscience when we see people are dying without food? Have we thought about how God feels? I am angry. They drink the most expensive wine, use the most expensive skincare, but do not care about the ruin of Joseph. They do not grieve about the ruin of Joseph. What does it mean by the ruin of Joseph? Church, you know who Joseph is. Joseph is the epitome of righteousness. Joseph is the epitome of charity. Jesus, Joseph, is the epitome of virtuosity. They have gone so far, straight so far away in their character. They have missed the mark completely what God wanted them to be. Sangat memalukan. Their worship was detestable. God says, I despise your worship. This is what Eugene Peterson said. He said, I can't stand your religious meetings. I am fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans, fundraising schemes, public relations and image making. I have had enough of your ego, noisy music. And God said this. He said, when was the last time you really sang to me? When was the last time you really sang to me? When was the last time when you sang, you really worshiped God? This is a wake-up call for us and for the Christian world. Let's not play games with God. Amos said, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The lion has roared. Know this. This is what Amos said. God will not bring judgment without giving us warning. Let me tell you, as your pastor, church, you know your own heart condition. You know where you are right now with God. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction in your heart. And if you don't listen, God will bring prophets. God will bring people to bring you the heart message. If you, us, do not repent, we prepare to die. Hear me, church. This is true. God will discipline us when we stray away. Make no mistake about this. God will discipline us. You know why? Because we are God's legitimate children. I think we better be afraid if God does not discipline us. It means that we are illegitimate children. It means we have no standing with God. The Bible says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Why? For Esau, God will let him be. You do whatever you want. You are not my child. I don't care what you do. You go and die. But Jacob, God pounds him. God breaks him. God disciplines him. So that he could become Israel. God will do the same to us. When we stray, our hearts go astray from Him. God will bring us back. The Bible says that things don't happen by accident. There is always a cause to every effect. The Bible says that what we will reap what we sow. The law of cause and effect. The bird that is flying in the air will not just suddenly swoop to the ground and get caught. There was a trap there. The law of cause and effect. When things happen in our life, many things happen in our lives, we need to pay attention. We cannot live our life like our head inside the sand like the ostrich. But we have to pay attention to God and what He is doing in our lives and around us. You know, many times God knows which button to press in our life that makes us tick. He is so smart and intelligent. He will bring the right thing into our life to get our attention. It may be relationships, it may be finance, it may be business, it may be anything. I don't know. But God knows which button to press. And when God presses that button, let us take heed. Let us take heed. Amos chapter 4 talks about God pressing so many buttons to remind and to make Israel to be aware of what He was going to do. And the Bible says, that so many times, I think 6 times or 4 times, He said, I did this and yet you did not return to me. I did this, you did not return to me. I did this, you did not return to me. Famine, drought, disease on your crops, coronavirus, young men killed in war, fire, you never returned to me. You never paid attention to me, Israel. I have brought all these physical calamities to you, yet you have not returned to me, Israel. Then I brought a spiritual famine. Do you know what a spiritual famine is? I tell you what it is. A spiritual famine, the Word of God says that it's a famine of hearing the voice of God. The famine of hearing the Word of God. When we read the Bible and it's just so dull to us that it means nothing to us. It doesn't tick us. It doesn't inspire us. We become dull. It becomes a problem. We become spiritually dead. It's a spiritual famine. When God does not speak, when you experience silence in your life, you pray, you do whatever you do, just silence, read the Bible, no meaning, so dull, fall asleep. Spiritual famine. This is something that I fear the most in my life. That I hear not the voice of the Spirit. God, don't do this to me. I need you, God. I need to hear your voice. when I open the Word of God, I just want it to refresh me. Jesus says, I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not just us, our next generation, our youth, the lovely young woman and the strong young man will faint because of thirst, spiritual drought. When our children shows apathy towards God, we need to wake up. We need to weep. We need to wail. We need to pray for them. Lay hands on them. God have mercy. Every night when they go to sleep, when they are already in bed, they are sleeping, we kneel down before the throne of God and lay hands. Oh, Father, these are your children. Do not let them be led astray, oh God. We do not pray for anything for our children. We just pray that their hearts will turn to you, God. Jesus said this, when you see a cloud rising from the west, it is going to rain. The signs and the writings are on the wall. We are living in the end of end times. We have to take heed. We have to pay attention. It is very, very unfortunate for Israel. They disregarded God. God sent them prophet. The king sent the priest and say, you don't come here and tell us. You go back to your home country. Amos chapter 7. You go back to your home country and go and prophesy there. Okay. No problem. After all, prophets are just the mouthpiece of God. I am sure Amos prospered because he obeyed God. Israel, what happened? Let me show you. Earthquake. Disaster. Judgment came upon them because they never heeded the voice of God. Historians said that 2 years after Amos prophesied, the earthquake came. Because the people never repented. The earthquake was 8 of magnitude in the Richter scale. According to, what do you call that? I don't know. Right? Scientists. 8 on Richter scale. Many died. Even the prophet Zechariah was referring to that big earthquake that happened during Uzziah and the time when Amos preached. And not just that. They disobeyed God. Earthquake came. Life went back to normal. the Assyrians came and they were taken into exile. All the wealth, the luxury, the pleasure that they had were looted by the enemy. And not only that, the Bible says they were led away with fish hooks, which is the hallmark of the Assyrians. They will take you by the fish hook and led you into captivity. Imagine the pain and the agony that Israel had to go through for disobeying God. By this time, some of you are very quiet, some of you are very angry with me. I don't care. I honestly don't care. I will speak what God tells me to speak. I don't need a job. I don't need to be your pastor. I just want to obey what God tells me to do. Is there hope? Yes. God spoke to me. He said, "This is a season of consecration for the church. Have you paid attention?" Criticize all you like. This is not the time to fool around with God. We have a responsibility. How do we respond to God? Amos had taught us two things very clearly. He said, this is a time to pray and to repent. I don't want to go through the lessons of Amos 7 because it would take a lot of time. In summary, God sent locusts. Locusts means grasshoppers, to kill their crops. Amos was alerted by God. Amos, God told Amos, I'm going to send locusts to destroy the crops of these people. And this is what Amos said. Amos said, Sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He is so small. And what did God do? God relented. God said, this will not happen. You know why did God go through so much trouble to bring all these calamities and all these problems? Because He wants our heart. He wants our attention. And we are not giving God our attention. But the good news is this, that when God's people will humble themselves and kneel down before God, God, please forgive us. God will hear us. He will hold back judgment. He will even bless us when we give our heart to God. You don't know how much it means to Father. You just don't know how God loves you, how much He loves you. the world dished out rubbish, gave our children rubbish. God gives us good things. We have a responsibility, church, not for ourselves, for our family, for our children, for our nation. God looks to the church to rise up and pray so that judgment can be averted on our nation. Do you know what is the power in your hand, church? You don't know. Your prayer is so powerful. The Bible says, in James, the book of James, chapter 5, that Elijah was someone like us, ordinary people, and he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. The prayer of righteous people like us is powerful and effective. It averts judgment. Let's not be like the disciples when Jesus say, you stay here, pray, don't fall into temptation. Jesus walked away and went back and found them sleeping. Not just once, 3 times, sleeping. Jesus said, keep watch. Do not pray, do not fall into temptation. What does repentance look like? Repentance is not crying a few tears. Repentance is not even kneeling down and pray for 24 hours, 7 days a week, and then we walk out of the place, we become the devil. It's not like that. Repentance comes from the heart. It means removing all the idols in our hearts. Look at that. It says, seek me and live. Do not seek battle. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. What are all these 3 places? These are names of places. Church, these are high places where all the idols are. This is where the place where had the heart of God's people. Today, the idols may not be Bethel, Samaria, or Beersheba. The idols may not be wood and stone or porcelain. The idols may be our job. The idols may be our children. The idols may be money. Idols may be worry. Let me tell you what an idol is. An idol is something that takes the place of God in our hearts. That's an idol. The Bible says that where your treasure is, your heart will also be. The things that you treasure, if it is not God, be careful. You are worshipping idols. Let me put it bluntly to you. Seek God only. Him only, not anything else. Everything else is abomination. I started the sermon by telling you the story of my two children. And I also told you that both of them gave a very different response to my warning. And let me tell you what was the outcome. One was let off the hook, and the other one faced my wrath and judgment. Church, this is a serious message, and I don't want to mince the word. I took twice the amount of time that I usually prepare a sermon to prepare this sermon. So much tears. I didn't know that this will turn out to be like this. Maybe the enemy knows. But this is serious, church. We have a responsibility. Please, I beg you to pay attention. Let us pray. Father, help us to hear your heart. Father, in the midst of you speaking so strongly, we pray, O God, that we will not just hear judgment, but we will hear your heart, that loving heart, that truly, Father, you are good. Sometimes we just don't know how good you are to us, because our eyes were not on you. Because our eyes were on things, and we think that things are so good. Sometimes we think we are wise. We think that we know best how to live our life. Therefore, we don't want to listen to you. We don't give you our ear. We don't give you our heart. Because we think that we know better, we know best. Father, forgive us. Father, I do not know what it takes. But I have done what I have done. Lord, you have asked me to speak, I will speak. God, I pray for a true repentance, that we will turn our hearts away from idols, that we will seek you and live. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And thank you very much. This is the end of the service now. And we will keep you informed of what the mode of service will be next Sunday.